Welcome to the Michael Slate Show. I'm your host, Michael Slate. This show is coming at you in some very troubled times. At the back end of the show, we'll hear part of an interview I did earlier this year with one of the participants in the Fort Sill protest, Satsuki Ina, who was born in the Tule Lake Segregation Center, a maximum security concentration camp for Japanese Americans during World War II. On June 22nd, protesters, including several Japanese American survivors of U.S. concentration camps in the 1940s and Native Americans with their own history of genocide, gathered at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, to protest plans for a children's detention center at the military base. They rallied under the banner of Stop Repeating History and Never Again Is Now, and carried on in the face of an attempt by military police to stop their protest. And opening the show up, we'll be going to Los Angeles, where the U.S. government has put two members of Refuse Fascism and the Revolution Club on trial for blocking a highway in Los Angeles in the fall of 2017. Make no mistake about it, this is a highly political, non-political prosecution. The critical question posed in the trial is, when your government is carrying out crimes against humanity, should you do nothing or should you sound the alarm? The two people on trial rightly chose the latter, and they called on others to act to stop the extreme danger to humanity and the planet posed by this regime. For this, they are being illegitimately prosecuted, and if found guilty, they could face up to 3 years in jail and fines up to $2,000. These actions were taking up the call from Refuse Fascism for massive, sustained, nonviolent protests in the streets of cities and towns across the country. Protests that were to continue day after day and not stop, creating the kind of political situation in which the demand that the Trump-Pence regime be removed from power is met. Ask yourself, why would these defendants nonviolently risk life and limb to make a political statement? Alex, one of the defendants, said, in 2017, a year and a half ago, think of what the Trump-Pence fascist regime was doing at that time. Threatening North Korea with nuclear war, banning Muslims, restricting trans people from the military. There was some outrage against this, but people were just protesting as usual, taking to the streets and then going home. What was needed, the only thing commensurate to what was going on, was people taking to the streets and not leaving. This was the call from Refuse Fascism for nationwide demonstrations on November 4th to bring millions into the streets in sustained, nonviolent political protest to stay in the streets until the regime is driven out. Alex said they did this to sound the alarm against fascism. These were not and are not normal times. And now, a year and a half later, look at all the children in concentration camps, and lawyers for the Justice Department are justifying all of these things, saying that migrant children don't need toothbrushes, beds, anything sanitary. All these things have consequence. This is the logic that leads to genocide. This is fascism. The trial of these righteous protesters is nearing a close, and a verdict will shortly follow afterwards. Everyone who refuses to accept a fascist America should stand solidly in support of these two protesters and join in the struggle. Sisters and brothers, we are living in very dangerous times. The rise of and consolidation of a fascist regime will mean horrendous suffering for the vast majority of people in the world and could spell the end of all humanity. When the trial opened up earlier this week, there was a spirited rally outside of the courthouse voicing support for the two protesters on trial and calling on others to join in supporting them. This week, we will be bringing you some of the voices of the people speaking at that rally. So check this out.
Okay, so my name is Michelle Chai and I'm with the Revolution Club in Los Angeles and Refuse Fascism. And we're here today in front of the Los Angeles Metropolitan Court because two members of the Revolution Club and Refuse Fascism are currently on trial. For what? For standing up against the fascist Trump-Pence regime and calling for the necessary protests to stop the crimes against humanity committed by the people in the White House.
Woo!
17. Refuse Fascism. 8 members of Refuse Fascism and with the Revolution Club got on the 101 freeway and held the banner twice. Once, banner that said November 4th, it begins. Second time, 60-foot banner that read Trump Pence must go. And this was during a time when the Trump-Pence regime was threatening war, nuclear war, against North Korea, when they were demonizing, criminalizing immigrant people, calling them thugs and animals and criminals. This was during a time when they were threatening to strip away the rights of women to control their bodies. And these people that got on the freeway recognized what direction this Trump-Pence fascist regime was headed on. Fast forward a year and a half later, today, when immigrant children are kept in concentration camps. They're kept in inhumane conditions. They're treated like animals. These conditions and all of what they're doing to people here and all over the world, the defendants recognize that something had to be done to prevent getting us to the situation that we're in today, where they're threatening war against Iran, where they're stripping away the rights of women to control their body, where they're heading humanity at the brink of extinction. And that is why these people that are now on trial are heroes. And more of that kind of protest is and was necessary to stop the kind of crimes against humanity and stop the destruction of the planet. So we're gonna start by having Annie Day read the statements from these two defendants that are now on trial.
I am proud to read the words of these heroes that were right then and they were right now. So there's two defendants on trial from Refuse Fascism and the Revolution Club. Chantel, one of the two defendants, she talked about why she was compelled to act. She said, I decided to be part of the freeway action because I was confronted with doing nothing or doing something. Trump is demonizing immigrants, calling them criminals, drug dealers, and rapists, vilifying them in order to justify the ripping apart of families and deportation back to the dangerous conditions in which they fled, jailing them and now detaining them in concentration camps in the most horrific conditions. Chantel went on to say, people do not understand that this is all extremely vital to consolidating a fascist regime. You need to cast off group after group and incite fear among the masses. He has given more power to the police, taking off the gloves and intensifying and legitimizing their torment of black and brown people, even attacking our constitutional rights and suppressing dissent and resistance. Her co-defendant said this. He said, in 2017, a year and a half ago, think of what the Trump-Pence fascist regime was doing at the time. Threatening North Korea with nuclear war, banning Muslims, restricting trans people from the military. There was some outrage against this, but people were just protesting as usual, taking to the streets and then going home. What was needed, the only thing commensurate to what was going on, was people taking to the streets and not leaving. This was the call from Refuse Fascism for November 4th, to bring millions into the streets in sustained, nonviolent political protests to stay in the streets until this regime is driven out. Also, he said, we did this to sound the alarm against fascism. Those were not normal times. And now, fast forward to a year and a half later, look at all the children in concentration camps. And lawyers for the Justice Department are justifying all these things, saying that migrant children don't need toothbrushes, beds, anything sanitary. All these things have consequence. This is the logic that leads to genocide. This is fascism. Something bigger than a protest as usual needed to happen. And Refuse Fascism recognized this immediately. People were getting in the streets, but then they were going home. Then the next day, less people would be in the streets, then again going home. Then no one was in the streets. If we aren't as outraged now and driven into the streets to demand this regime be removed, then what are we doing? We are accepting it. We are adjusting to nightmare after nightmare, horror after horror. When we drive to work while this regime is stripping away rights of LGBTQ people, we are normalizing fascism. While we drink our coffee and watch TV while ICE is ripping families apart, we are collaborating with fascism. I couldn't sit by and watch these things happening.
No way.
I understood the danger and the importance of stopping Trump from gaining any more momentum. Chantel says, I proudly got in the freeway with the message of November 4th, it begins. I was on that freeway to show other people what is needed in order to drive out this regime. We, the people, need to stand up against the horrors of the Trump-Pence regime. In the name of humanity, we need to break out of the safety of our routines and refuse to accept a fascist America. I got on the freeway for the 7 billion people of the world, and I did it again with the second banner, the Trump-Pence regime must go. So those are our heroic defendants in this unjust and illegitimate trial, and it's on all of us to learn from their actions and do the same.
Okay, so I haven't talked about the conspiracy charges, but I wanted to make it clear, right? There was nine defendants that were charged on this case, and two of which were charged with conspiracy charges, which they claim were people that planned the freeway action. And all that came out in their so-called evidence was that people were just talking about legally protesting. People were talking about the Trump-Pence regime and the crimes they were committing, making plans to go out to campuses and talking to students. Meanwhile, these people are labeled as criminals, and you got the biggest criminals in the White House that were planning, that were getting started and heading in the direction in which we're in today, again, in a situation where children are being put in literal concentration camps, where women are, their rights to control their bodies are being stripped away, where they're threatening war against Iran. The biggest criminals and the only criminals that are supposed to be on trial are those in the White House. And I just have to say, two defendants and myself are members of the Revolution Club. And I just have to say, what kind of system gives rise to a fascist like Donald Trump, an open white supremacist, and puts him in the White House and legitimizes this shit? What kind of system gives rise to a fascist like Donald Trump, a system that was founded on slavery and genocide, and a system that needs to be overthrown, and we are getting organized to overthrow that system at the soonest possible time? And we got the leadership and the strategy and the science, and people should go to revcom.us and find out more about that. I'm gonna bring up Isabel Cardenas, who is one of the initiators of Refuse Fascism.
Hi, I can't scream like she does, but I tell you, we have to do something about Donald Trump and Pence, and we cannot do it alone. We need to fill the streets with millions of people asking that this, I don't want to use bad words, but I will,
okay,
that this sons of bitches get out of the White House. I mean, the damage that they are doing is just incredible. People shun away from the word fascism, but that's what this is. They are a bunch of fascists, and they are in the White House running it just like Adolf Hitler did.
All right.
During the year in Germany.
All right.
Now, they sometimes call us radical. But if the Germans and Jews would have been as radical as all of us are, and courageous, because these young people are courageous, and this is why they're on trial. If they would have been just as radical, millions of lives would have been saved. Yeah. We are not going to cross our arms and let the voters take care of it, because our votes really don't count in a way. It's the college electoral vote that has put all of these fascists in the house anyway. So we have to stick together. Please tell your friends, everybody, that anybody that's listening to us that is not in our group, bring your family members, your friends, tell them they must join Refuse Fascism. It's the only organization that has the guts to really say it like it is. We have fascists in the White House. That, neo-Nazis in the White House. That's right. So we have to resist and fight and make sure that they get the hell out of the White House. We don't want them there. Look what they're doing. They're putting children in concentration camps. They're putting immigrants in concentration camps. This is really what they are. We have people dying inside these concentration camps. We have children dying inside. So we have to really work together. And we have to make sure that people write to the city attorney and tell them to get off our backs, because that's what they're doing. They've targeted our organization. They've targeted our leaders, such as Michelle, Charlene, and other members of our organization. There is one young woman that is actually going to be on trial just because she went to a university and asked for 11 minutes of silence for the undocumented. Now you tell me if that is a criminal act. That is exercising the First Amendment, freedom of speech. And we can say any damn thing we wish to say about what is happening to us, how they've targeted us, and we are exercising the First Amendment. Remember that. We are not criminals. We should not have people out in our organization on trial, because all that they have done is that First Amendment.
So that was Isabel Cárdenas, and I just have to say, she says that we're brave, but she's standing out here.
80, I'm gonna be 81.
At her age, okay? And she's been standing with us, and she's still out here calling for the removal of the Trump-Pence regime. So.
And I forgot to tell you all that I've been an activist since 1960. Since the time of Vietnam, I was in the marches even as a young. Now I'm 80 years young, and I will be 81 years young, because I am not old. My heart is young, and I love all these young kids, and I call them kids, okay? Because they're doing something to stop this regime. We all have to admit it, and it's time that they continue their work.
All right. So I'm going to bring up Tika to read a statement. She's going to introduce it.
Okay, go ahead, Tika. This is from someone who is, most of her life, she's been an activist and a lay leader in her church, who believes that her faith calls her to put her life to serve people. And she is one of my heroes, but here she is writing about you all as heroes. She said, "It's become apparent to many of us that the current administration is leading us down an extremely dangerous path, which could lead us to a needless and destructive war, which drives us ever closer to ecological disaster, which fuels racial hatred, and which favors the very rich over ordinary citizens struggling to live decent lives. A group of very courageous people, seeing this extreme danger, took a brave action to say no to this tidal wave of dangerous actions by the administration. As a person of faith, I admire their courage. They did it out of love of humanity. They did it using our precious right of free speech. Therefore, I ask you to drop the charges against the Freeway 9 and UCLA 5.
Okay, so today in court, we saw a video where the people were on the freeway, and there were, it was very beautiful to hear them chant. And I want to lead everybody here in that same chant. And I'm sure a lot of y'all know it. Trump and Pence must go! Trump and Pence
must go!
Trump and Pence
must go!
Trump and Pence
must go!
Trump and Pence
must go!
Trump and Pence
must go!
Alright! So, okay, in Espanol. Trump and Pence,
let me say!
Trump and Pence,
let me say!
To it. This case is an illegitimate prosecution carried out by an illegitimate system. I mean, what else can you say about a system that tears families apart on the border with Mexico, that puts children in cages, that says they don't have to provide soap or toothbrushes for these children? They don't need to give them a bed, they can give them an aluminum blanket, and that's safe and sanitary. What else can you say about a system that is responsible for children and adults too being bombed in Yemen, that has a significant part of that whole country on the edge of starvation? What can you say about a system that threatens war against Venezuela, against Iran, and elsewhere in the world? What you can say about it, and it's this capitalist imperialist system we live under here, that it is no damn good, and that it needs to be gotten rid of in the only way possible, and that's through an actual revolution at the soonest time. And I'm part of the National Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour that is working on just that. We launched it here in Los Angeles a few weeks ago, going to Chicago, made side stops in Memphis. We're gonna take this all across the country because that's what needs to be done. And like Michelle said, we've got the leadership for this revolution in Baba Bacon. We've got the strategy for it and a vision of the future world it could bring into being. And see, it's from that perspective that I joined with other activists in December of 2016 to form Refuse Fascism. I'm one of the co-initiators of it. Because as a revolutionary who sees the need to get rid of this system, I understood what was at stake when this system brought forth a fascist like Donald Trump, put him and Mike Pence in the White House, representing a program to keep this system in effect and to beat down any opposition to it. The prospects for humanity got real dangerous in relation to that. And that's why we put out the call for people to take to the streets and to break with protest as usual. These people on trial today, they answered that call. They did what was right. They looked at what was happening and said, we can't sit aside and do nothing. They did what was right. And to all those people out there who say, well, if I'd have been around when the sit-down movement started at the lunch counters in 1961, or when the Freedom Riders went down, I'd have been with that. Okay, if you would have been with that, why aren't you with this? Why aren't you having the backs of these protesters? But even more than having their backs, why aren't you stepping out in the street with them? Because that's what's needed. That's what's needed. Don't tell me what you would have done then. Show me what you're doing now. And do the right thing. Stand up, be part of driving this regime out, and get with the movement for an actual revolution to end these horrors once and for all. Go to revcom.us to look into what the tour's got going on and to get involved with that. And go to refusefascism.org and get involved in the movement to drive out the Trump Pence regime. Thank you.
Hello.
Yes.
So that's my speech. I'm also supposed to read a statement from Bill Ayers, an academic and longtime activist based in the Chicago area, sending a statement on this case. The wreckage is all around us. Ongoing war and the threat of new U.S. aggression, including nuclear attacks in Iran, Venezuela, and all over the world. White supremacy galvanized and on the rise. The scapegoating of specific groups of human beings, the roundups, the targeting, an omnivorous national security and surveillance apparatus, the abrogation of privacy and civil liberties, and the rise of repressive state power, the wide use of mass incarceration, the banality of torture, domestically and internationally, the undermining of tolerance everywhere, catastrophic capitalist environmental collapse. Resistance is breaking out all over, and it's absolutely imperative. Join us, shoulder to shoulder with immigrant communities and all who fight back against the outrages of empire and racial capitalism. Stand in solidarity with the Freeway 9 protesters on trial in Los Angeles today. That's Bill Ayers' statement.
Right on.
Again, why we're here? We're here because two courageous protesters that got on the 101 freeway with banners that said Trump and Pence must go are now on trial. Meanwhile, the biggest criminals in the White House that are treating these immigrant children as if they were animals are still sitting atop of this system. Meanwhile, the difference And these people acted because they were confronted by those choices. They acted and they called on people to act in the name of humanity.
She's a member of the Los Angeles Democratic Party Central Committee and the Executive Board of the California Democratic Party, as well as the President of the Progressive Democrats of the Santa Monica Mountains. So I'm going to read an edit of her statement. She said, "Before Donald Trump was elected, refused fascism was sounding the alarm. The country did not respond to their call. While I do not agree with the Revolutionary Communist Party, some of whom are involved in refused fascism, I do agree with Refuse Fascism's statement that in the name of humanity, we cannot accept a fascist America. Instead, it seems that the LA City Administration does indeed accept and defend a fascist America. The Democratic Club, of which I am president, Progressive Democrats of the Santa Monica Mountains, has met with a member of Refuse Fascism. I have attended a meeting and sent a club representative to their meetings. These are peaceful people. They have a right to meet without being spied on by a terrorist task force. They have a right to protest peacefully without fear of being charged with conspiracy. I regret that the Democratic Party did not step up and call for mass protests. Now we see what the Trump administration is willing to do to immigrants, and perhaps sooner than we think to us. The Democratic administration and the legal system of Los Angeles should be supporting protests against this administration, not spying on peaceful protesters." So again, that was a statement from Dorothy Reich, who's a member of the LA Democratic Party Central Committee and the Progressive Democrats of the Santa Monica Mountains.
Okay, so I'm gonna call on people together. We're gonna end with one of the attorneys who's gonna give a statement, right? And this attorney needs a big round of applause because he's taking up this case pro bono. He's volunteering to defend one of these righteous protesters. So let's give him a big hand, Damon.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Damon Alamori, and I have the honor, I have the privilege of being able to represent one of the defendants in this case. I met Michelle on the front steps of this very courthouse. I was just, you know, handling my daily affairs in court, and I noticed that they were holding signs denouncing Trump and denouncing the various crimes that this administration has inflicted upon this country and upon the world generally. I sympathize with that cause in particular. As well, in a more general sense, I feel very passionate about the right to free speech. I feel very passionately about protecting that right against what I consider to be shameful prosecution. It's one of the very foundations of the Constitution itself. This prosecution is, in effect, a violation of that indelible, immutable right. If there is no free speech for these individuals, then there can be no free speech for anyone. That would render that right hollow. So I'd like to say this. The fact that we have gone this far and proceeded with a jury trial and denied the allegations categorically on both legal, moral, political, and philosophical terms. We've denied the allegations. We've denied the truth of the allegations. That in and of itself is a victory. That in and of itself is a victory. As righteous as a verdict of not guilty, if not more so. Because in a sense, the struggle is just as righteous as the outcome, if not more so. So with that, I thank you for your time.
Okay, my name is Annie Day. I've been part of the National Revolution Tour, and I want to make a couple more comments about this trial, and then we're going to end, and those of us who are here and not on the computer are going to go back in the courtroom. But I want to say this, two things. What they did, what these defendants did by standing on the freeway, not once but twice, responding to the call from Refuse Fascism for a movement of millions to break out of the bounds of business as usual and act in a way commensurate with the extreme danger being faced by humanity. What they did was not just righteous, but it was right. It is not illegal to shout fire in a crowded theater if there is a fire, okay? What we are seeing on the planet and the dangers with this regime is a fire of such immense proportions that we very may well see the end of civilization, and that is not an overstatement. This is a fascist regime in power. They are threatening right now a war in Iran, which could set off a nightmare for millions of people in the Middle East and the billions of people in the world. The extreme danger concentrated in the approach to climate change. The banning of abortion, the rounding up of immigrants, you've heard it here today. The violation, the gutting of basic civil liberties and the right to protest. This is on us to stop. It is what these protesters did on the freeway, and all of us need to act. These shirts say, banning abortion, which side are you on? Don't be a good German. Children in cages, which side are you on? It is on us to act commensurate with the dangers that is being faced. That's number one. Number two, and what they, if millions had acted the way they did a year and a half ago, we might not be in the situation we're facing now.
That's right.
Okay, and it is on millions of people to confront the dangers, to confront what's happening in your name, and act to stop it, and don't think it can't happen in America, okay? As Bob Avakian, the leader of the revolution, has pointed out, this is the country of slavery and genocide. Fascism can happen here, and it is happening before our very eyes. The second point to make is all along, these prosecutors have said that this is not a political prosecution. But the way that they have prosecuted this case, the way that they have charged this case, betrays the actual reality that this is going after political protest that steps outside the safe confines of toothless and meaningless resistance. Okay, that is why they are going after these heroes who stood on the freeway that day. You can see it in the fact that they sent a spy in to a church to refuse fascism meetings, the fact that the anti-terrorism division of the LAPD is the one who charged these protesters for a supposed traffic violation, and the fact that Michelle and others were facing conspiracy charges. If you don't act to stop this, to speak out now, you are saying that it is okay to criminalize protest that matters. So if you think this has to stop, then it is on you to act. Here's what you can do. Call the city attorney. If you're on the computer, write this down. 213-978-8100. Call Mike Fourier, demand these charges be dropped. If you are in LA, be at this courthouse tomorrow. The defendants are going to testify. It matters that this courtroom is packed, okay? If you're not in LA, but you know people in LA, call them, tell them to get here. That matters. Make a statement, post about this on social media. This can't go down without a fight, y'all, okay? This whole fascist regime, but also these charges and this case. It is on all of us to stop. Ask yourself, when your government is putting immigrants in cages, when your government is preventing children from taking showers because they deem them inhuman, should you do nothing or should you shout, ring the alarm, sound the alarm to say this has to stop? This is what this is about, and it's on you. It's on you to act, to be part of stopping this. Okay, so that's all we want to end with. Michelle's going to close us out. Find out more and get organized with a movement to drive this regime from power at refusefascism.org. and get with the movement for revolution to overthrow this whole damn system at revcom.us.
That's a perfect way to end.
Trump and Pence must go!
Trump and Pence
must go!
Trump and Pence
must go!
Trump and Pence
must go!
Trump and Pence
must go!
Drop the charges!
Drop the charges!
Drop the charges!
Drop the charges!
Camp America, so much fun. Camp America.
That was Vic Mensa with 93 Punks and Camp America. Check my Facebook page for a link to the song and a powerful video and share it. Now we'll hear my interview with Satsuka Ina.
In February of 1942, President Roosevelt signed an executive order 9066, which said that Americans of Japanese descent living in West Coast cities would be relocated to internment camps until the end of World War II. And my next guest is actually, she is someone who has been she's been very involved in this. She was involved in that when she was a child. Her name is Satsuki Ina, and she was born in the Tule Lake Segregation Center, a maximum security concentration camp for Japanese Americans during World War II. Satsuki, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on the show.
Yeah, definitely. You have an experience, the Japanese-American experience here in this country, which is different than, there's a lot of places, a lot of other people and nationalities and whatnot who have come under the heels and been hit hard by the system. But there's something unique about what happened to Japanese-Americans on the West Coast in early 1942. Let's talk about that as sort of to frame this thing first.
Sure. So it used to be unique, and now it's being repeated again, which was people like my parents were forcefully removed from their homes in San Francisco without any due process and incarcerated in horse stalls. So that was called the temporary detention facility. And then we were moved to more permanent military compound surrounded by 10-foot barbed wire fences and armed guards for just being one, if you had 1/16th Japanese blood and you lived on the West Coast, whether you were a baby in an orphanage or an elder in a hospital, you were removed and incarcerated, and my parents were incarcerated for 4.5 years, and I was born in one of the most stringent maximum security prisons of all of the 10 that were developed and built during that period.
Just so people know, there were actually, I think there were, 120,000 Japanese Americans who were declared suspects and imprisoned simply because of their dissent?
Yes, that we were, again, this is a similar language that we're hearing today, which is that we were a threat to national security. And there were actually trumped up stories that we were in some way helping, assisting the Japanese military with potential spy activity, sabotage, and fifth column activity, when in the end, there was never anyone of Japanese descent living on the West Coast who was ever charged with any crime.
And people who were in the camps and stood up against it and refused to go along with the accusations and to just bow over to the system, they actually paid a very heavy price. Your father was one of them. Can we talk about that?
Sure. The psychology of captivity is kind of at the base of it, where the government used the language and the terminology that was spread throughout the country to view us, anybody who protested, not as protesters or dissidents or people demanding their human and civil rights, but more as troublemakers and potential spies and pro-Japan loyalists. And in that way, during and after the war, even our own community saw people like my father who protested, who were dissidents, as people who had betrayed America, when in fact my father says that he was standing up for the Constitution that he believed in.
And, you know, you and your brother and your mother, as you said, were transferred to a camp in Texas. Let's talk about, one, why were you separated? And then what was your experience in that camp in Texas?
So we were separated, and there was a lot of family separation. For anybody who did protest, were identified as troublemakers without, again, any due process, and were removed. And so my father was taken from us in Tule Lake and sent to Bismarck, North Dakota, a Department of Justice internment camp. And when the camps were closing, so this is after the war had ended, we were still incarcerated. So families that were going to be deported, although my parents were both American citizens, were transferred to Crystal City, Texas, which was a family detention facility. So Bismarck, North Dakota closed down, and my father was brought back to Crystal City, where we were reunited, and the plan was that we were to be deported to Japan.
Mm-hmm. Now, Satsuki, let's talk about this, because, you know, when you say your family went to the South Texas Family Residential Center, and you were talking about that, then you come back. What? How did you discover, how did you come on the fact that what existed when you were a child is actually existing and even in even more heinous form now?
Well, I think, you know, at some level, just hearing the rhetoric, the language that was used to describe immigrants as rapists and terrorists, and that they were a threat to our economy, that they were an unassimilable race, is all resonant from the language that was used to justify that we were a national security risk in 1942 and as the basis for being removed. So I think it alerted many of us in the Japanese-American community that this was, again, an inhumane policy that was being developed. And, again, the same experience of the solution being mass incarceration and cruel, unjust, inhumane treatment of people of color.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about what happened when you went down to Texas.
So on March 30th, several of us who were at Crystal City, Texas as children organized a Japanese-American community. And there were 60 of us who were either descendants or actual survivors of the incarceration during 1942. So many of us are in our 70s and 80s. And we declared that we would go back and stand with the immigrants who are being subjected to mass incarceration. If we had to take our canes, our hearing aids, and our white hair, we were going to protest in ways that America didn't protest when we were disappearing from our classrooms and our jobs and our neighborhoods. We wanted to educate people about the fact that this was in fact a repetition of what the government eventually determined was a result of racism and hysteria and the failure of political leadership.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that when I was reading up on this, one of the things that really struck me is, you know, you went down there and you went to the Family Residential Center and you noticed that it really wasn't, you know, one, there was a lot you saw as similar to what had happened to you, or you were familiar with what was going on, at least in the broad sweeps. But you also said that the system tried to present this whole center, this whole prison camp for children, as a child development center. And you stood up against
right.
that. Let's talk about that.
Right. So in order to avoid meeting the requirements of the Flores settlement, these private prison corporations were looking for a way to keep these children in the prison camps because, you know, they would profit from it. So to avoid losing that, they were applying to the state board to qualify as child development centers. So many of us who I'm a family therapist, and there were social workers and several people that gathered to testify about the conditions that we saw when we visited the prison camps, which was no place a child should ever have to live. And in circumstances that were so familiar to many of us who were children incarcerated during World War II.
Give people a sense of what those circumstances were, though, because I think it's important for people to have an actual something that can actually sit in their head and shock the hell out of them.
Well, so you mean in visiting the site, right?
Yes, yes.
Going inside, yes. So I went in as a visitor and really to observe and evaluate the trauma that the children were exposed to. And I saw mothers and children who were still in a very serious state of trauma. And they told me things like the children were losing weight because the food was covered with black pepper. And I verified that this last weekend when I went back for another protest, that this was at Carnes, that the women who complained were told that this was a way to discourage others from wanting to cross the border. The other thing that I noticed that was appalling to me was all the prison guards had commercial water bottles hanging off of their belts. And the mothers were saying that the water was terrible and the children weren't drinking the water. And when I asked her what was wrong with the water, she said it smelled heavily of chemicals. So when I went out to talk to people to find out what was going on with the water, the one volunteer who had been there for a while said, "Look around, what do you see?" And there were these giant fracking machines all around the facility. And I learned that they have to drill these chemicals into the ground in order to get to the oil that they're seeking, and that the FDA has approved it as drinkable water. But those prison guards weren't drinking that water. And so these children, this one little girl who said that the mother said that she couldn't sleep at night. She had these night terrors. And when I talked to the little girl to ask her what would happen when she was trying to go to sleep, and she said the dogs. And the mother explained to me that when they crossed the border, they were told by their coyotes that brought them across to put their arms out and say asylum and that they would be taken care of. But in fact, the little girl was chased and terrified by these dogs that the Border Patrol chased her with. And so she had nightmares of the teeth right in front of her face.
You're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and that was Satsuki Ina, who was born in the Tule Lake Segregation Center, a maximum security concentration camp for Japanese Americans during World War II. And we were talking with her about what happened back then and the protest she helped organize of a World War II camp survivors protesting the caging of Central American refugees in Texas and throughout the rest of the country, wherever they are. And we're on our way out of here, so I'm going to try and do this really fast. I really want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to write to me, you can at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com.
Ein, zwei, drei, vier.
Strange things are happening, Lord, I don't know what to do. My friends say it's in my head, I say it's deja vu. It's all too familiar. Been down this road before. I believe it was in Germany, just before the war. A meanness swept the land, stealing our hearts and the hands of time. Taking us back in history to a place on the darker side, where we saluted the flags of fear and the voice of ignorance roared. Taking us back to Germany just before the war. The balance of power shifted when the people cast their vote. Our lining up the victims, the villains, and the scapegoats. And we're all singing hallelujah. Death penalty's been restored. Just like in Germany, just before the war. We used to feed the hungry, care for the disabled and the poor. We used to care about civil rights, but we don't give a damn.